Okay, in our last class, we were finishing up lesson two, which was over definitions. And just a quick review on some of that. We saw when we break down the word evangelism that basically you have two parts. You have evangel and then this idea of ism. And we understood that this evangel is gospel, or the, as some put it, is the Christian gospel. And this idea of ism is where it said a belief or an attitude, a style, etc., that is referred to by a word that ends in the suffix, or what was before the ism. So it's a distinctive doctrine, cause, or theory. So a belief or attitude about the gospel or the good news. When we think about ism, are there any maybe words that we hear a lot that have ism behind it?
Communism, socialism.
Okay.
Patriotism.
Okay. So, well, communism or stuff like that, or racism, or any of that stuff. What is the idea? Is it just the understanding that there's different races? If you're using the word racism.
No. Dedication and devotion to.
Okay, it's dedication, devotion to. So we can see that idea in these communism and in all the different words that we have that have the ending ism on it. We can see how they do work towards these people, that even if it's something we don't agree with, we still see how that works, and that it is a dedication to something. And as it was brought up, I believe, in our first class by Ms. Pat, that was what she said. This idea of ism is dedication or devotion. So if that is what that means, and we're talking about evangel, we're saying that that's the gospel or the good news of Christ, so then that should tell us that this has to do with our dedication and devotion to Christ and our understanding of Him. So out of that, then we're going to see something taking place out of that basis. And we saw that the root word that was in Strong's, that, and it's the idea of gospel and preach and preaching and tidings. And that, at least in the New King James Version, it's 55 times. And out of that, there's only one time where it's not speaking to the gospel or something in that idea. And I believe that's in 1 Thessalonians, where it's talking, referring to Timothy and something that he was saying to Paul. Excuse me just a second. I don't know where I put that. That's too many notes. One idea, and this is just something that I, when I was researching some of the words, how this word is used. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to refer in all times the way that we use it or what we're meaning by it, but one way evangelism was used, and I think this was Wikipedia. It says that evangelism is the preaching of the Christian gospel, or the practice of relaying information about a particular set of beliefs to others with the object of conversion. So we would agree with that. And it has some other stuff in there we probably wouldn't really agree with. But we see that idea. Evangelism as speaking this or teaching this to others. And like we said when we first started the class, and we'll actually get into some of that today, it is beginning with teaching others that don't know it. But we'll see that it's not just, we shouldn't just teach those that know. Because the examples we're going to use for evangelism, we're going to see that this did start with them being taught something they didn't know, and with them coming to the understanding of the truth. But then it grew into something else. It's something that's very important to us in our teaching. Now, just one thing, when they, in this Wikipedia, it also said that, I just thought it was interesting, Christians who specialize in evangelism are often known as evangelists. So, whether they are in their home communities or living as missionaries in the field, said that although some Christian traditions refer to such people as missionaries in either case. Some Christian traditions consider evangelists to be in a leader... and they found the preaching, large meeting, da-da-da. Okay, yeah, I didn't need all that part. But basically, I just found it interesting that they were talking about that those who are Christians who specialize in evangelism... It is known as the evangelist. And I think, if I'm understanding what they mean, it almost implies, well, the preacher does the evangelizing, which they do. But it's not just their job. And as we'll see in Timothy, we'll see where Timothy does his teaching. So it's not necessarily the idea of what others have. As far as his work as the evangelist. Now, our work as fellow Christians, it's not necessarily a matter where we are as far as teaching those that are lost. Any comments or thoughts or questions? Or no? Okay. Let's go into our lesson number 3 then. Carol, did you need one? Do you have
one?
No, I have one. You have one? Okay. So in lesson number 3, I put on here that we're going to look at some passages that will help us understand what the Bible teaches about evangelism. And again, as we've already mentioned, that particular word, evangelism, you're not going to find it in the Bible, but you will find the examples of it. And I put on there, please read the following passages, Acts 8:4, 2 Timothy 2:2, Matthew 28:19 through 20, Ephesians 6:4, Now, when we just saw when we were defining these words, there are a lot of passages we could use to show the idea of preach or preaching the gospel. And I chose these here because I think there's a couple different things we can learn from these passages. This idea is not limited to these passages, but I thought these were some good ones to look at. Did y'all notice anything in these verses that they had in common? What was happening? What were they doing?
Teaching
others. Okay, they were teaching?
Others.
Teaching others, okay. So they were teaching others, teaching or preaching. And is it just the preacher's job to evangelize? No. And these passages can help answer that, I think. And started with Acts 8:4 and Ephesians 6:4. In And let's turn over to Acts 8:4. When it was talking about those in Jerusalem, it said that, where is it? Verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And it, also, you have a footnote down there that says, bringing the good news. I think it was 4:1. Yeah, by preaching. It also has this idea of bringing the good news of. So these that were scattered were preaching or bringing the good news of the word.
Craig?
Yes, ma'am?
If you go over to Acts 11 and speaking about those people who were spread abroad, in Acts 11:19 it says that they were speaking the word to no one except the Jews. But then in verse 20, it says that some of them went down and began speaking to the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. That's what they were preaching. And then 21, it said, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So that was the result, you know, of what they were doing.
Okay.
So here are just Christians.
Right.
Who had become Christians, going and teaching to the lost, Jew and Gentile, and the word, and they became Christians.
Thank you. Good observation, because that's the idea that we're going to see in these different verses. It's not, we will see an example of a preacher, but it's not limited to that. You know, we're going to see that these people learn because they were taught by others, and we'll see a cycle starting.
Craig?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned there was other verses that you could also use. It's interesting in Acts 8:4. If you back up to Acts 5:42, where these are that the apostles taught these people. So you have the apostles teaching them, you have the preaching, teaching Jesus Christ and evangelism, and then what did the people do? Then they went ahead and spread and started teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to note, when you look at the book of Acts, there's two churches that Paul did not start, Colossae and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gets started, very likely from the people here.
From other people.
In Acts 8:4 that went about one of the first seven churches.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to see that idea through here. And that's one of the reasons why I put the Matthew 28, because we're going to see, you know, starting from they're teaching others, or them being commanded to teach others, this cycle that's going to take place. So here in Acts 4, we just see, we could just say Christians. We see them teaching others. And then what about in Ephesians, when we look at Ephesians 6:4? Fathers. Okay. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we see here fathers are to teach, and we know it's not just limited to fathers. In Proverbs 1:8, you see, it says here, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. We see that instructing and teaching when it comes to the parent-child relationship is, you know, both for the father and the mother. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we see that parents should teach their children. Now we see Timothy teaching in 2 Timothy 2. So in 2 Timothy 2, we see Timothy teaching, And in Matthew 28, we're also going to see the apostles' teaching. Do we exclude these because this is what a preacher was to do? It's okay to answer. No, we shouldn't. I mean, yes, these are examples of, like in this case, 2 Timothy is an example of what a preacher is doing. But what we see him doing is not limited to just a preacher, because we can see that from other verses. Or not only that, but in Matthew 28, although that was speaking to the apostles, we see that's not limited to them as far as that cycle. The pattern or the outcome of their teaching resulted in those that would be able to teach. So that's the cycle or the pattern that we're going to see happening, regardless if it was a fellow Christian, or if I say a Christian or a parent, whatever it was. Timothy, a preacher, the apostles, they were all teaching those that didn't know, and these were to come to an understanding where they could also teach. And like Rocky said, you saw the cycle, because one was teaching the other, and then they became teachers, and this cycle continues.
Would you also, I think also 2 Timothy 2:15 could be applied to this.
Okay.
It talks about presenting yourself approved to God as a workman. Not being ashamed and accurately handling the word of truth. So working means to go out doing something, right?
Yes. I've got to look back over here, but I believe that was talking specifically to Timothy, but I would agree that that's something that we would have to be doing also. Because, I mean, we're going to have to handle the word accurately. That's this whole idea that we're going to see, especially in Matthew 28, it's not just learning to the point to obeying the gospel. That's a good thing. But in order for what we're looking at to take place, you're going to have to grow to where you're a teacher also. That's how this cycle keeps going. That's how in the parent-child relationship, it's the parent's duty to teach their children these things and bring them up in these things. So hopefully one day they will decide to make that their own, and the cycle will continue.
I found it interesting in 2 Timothy 2 what Timothy was supposed to do with the things that he had heard and the things that he knew to be the Word of God. To entrust is to put into the care of, you know, it's something precious. And so he's entrusting the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ to men who will also view it as something precious, that they would also be able to teach others. And so it's put into their care and to view as that and to respond in the same way that Timothy was supposed to respond to.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that good point, because we kind of see that when it says that Paul tells him, you know, things that you have heard from me. So we see that very idea, you know, things that Timothy had heard from Paul. And then Timothy is supposed to take these things and entrust it to these other men. Because in let's look at verse 2, 2 Timothy 2:2. It basically just says what we were just talking about, that Paul tells Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So when you think about this, Paul is writing this to Timothy, and he says, the things that you heard from me, or you could say, the things which I have talked. He tells Timothy to take these things and entrust them to faithful men. And why? Why will we do that? He says, so they will be able to teach others also. And I think that's where we see this pattern, this cycle going on. And we'll see that very thing in Matthew, the 28th chapter also. In Matthew 28, we can start in verse 18. It said, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he tells his select, the apostles, to do something because of this. Verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, I left out something, and we will come back to that, but I wanted to group those two verses together in that way, because we'll see that the apostles were to go, therefore, make disciples of the nations, and then teaching them to observe all that I commanded. Now, although what I left out is a very important piece in this being a disciple, but we're going to come back to it. I want us to see something first. First of all, I want to address something before it gets brought up. In verse 28, or in Matthew 28, yes, this is talking specifically to the disciples. So to say that it's telling us to do this specifically, that's not correct. It is speaking to the disciples, but we can definitely use this to understand this cycle that's going on. Because think about it, like Rocky already brought up, you see this cycle happening. You see that with what the apostles taught, it allowed others to come to an understanding and be able to teach others. And this cycle is going on. Because if this isn't working that way, what happens when the apostles are gone? Because the very idea here is that this news is being spread by others that trust and believe in it, and they grow to be able and capable to pass that on. So, yes, specifically, this is talking to the apostles, but I think it tells us by just the very thing that it's saying in there and explaining the other verses we could look at, that this is definitely something that we should be doing, because we see this pattern. That was the very pattern we looked at when we were talking about the parent-child relationship. When you train your child, I'm about to get ahead of myself, aren't I? We'll wait for a second there. Yes, ma'am.
In Ephesians, the third chapter, 4 there, when you read, you can understand my insight in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been revealed through his holy apostles and prophets. And then so, you know, that there's the cycle. But you read, we can know by reading.
Reading and understanding. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I agree. Was there any other comments or thoughts? Okay. In verse 19, go back over to Matthew 28. In verse 19, it said, go therefore and make disciples. So I just put a little section in here. What is a disciple? I think we all know that, but let's look over at Luke 6 just to get a little understanding of this word. Luke 6:40 says, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone who has been fully trained will be like his teacher. So a disciple is a learner or a student. And when we look at least how it says here in the New American Standard, a pupil is not above his teacher. I believe the American Standard and the New King James say a disciple is not above his teacher. So we see this idea of a pupil being a disciple. So we also understand the meaning of the word because the way that it's contrasted, this idea of disciple, if you use that, or pupil versus teacher. So a pupil or a disciple is not above his teacher. So they are a learner or a student. And now our word disciple in the New Testament really has nothing to do with age necessarily. Because the reason why I bring that up is because when we think of teacher and student, I think a lot we think of in school, you know, age doesn't necessarily have to do with it, and we're going to see that later when we talk about a specific kind of disciple, because this kind of disciple can't be a young child, and I think we know where I'm going with that, and we'll address that in a little bit. The reason I like the definition is because if you don't focus on the age part of it, and you look at what it explains, I think it's helpful. This teacher not only teaches, they're molding and shaping this pupil to what they're supposed to grow to be. So now, if a disciple is a learner or a student, what kind of disciple is in mind in these verses? It says to go therefore make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And this was Jesus speaking. So they were to teach what Jesus commanded. So Jesus is telling the apostles to make learners and students of his will. So these will be those that are striving to grow in the knowledge of God's will. When you look up I looked up Webster's Universal Dictionary, it says that a disciple is a person who believes in and helps to spread another's teachings, or a follower. And that's exactly what we're looking at. These apostles were also called Jesus' disciples. So they too are disciples. They believe and help spread another's teachings. They are followers, and followers and teachers of Christ. So again, we can see that there's some type of cycle going on. Jesus is telling his select to make followers of him. And how are they to do this? By teaching. They're to teach others about Jesus, and those that choose to be followers will grow to a point that they are teachers, and they will teach others, and then this cycle. You know, I didn't put on the lesson, but you know, when you think about it, especially with what Rocky was talking about in Acts, So these the journeys and the different things you find in Acts, that's what these apostles are doing, right? They're teaching others. And then from that, you see these different examples of others learning, and some of the stuff we've looked at, how this is passed on to others. You see churches being developed, and as Rocky pointed out, not all of them necessarily from them, but from their teaching. So we can see this idea of how this word or this message was spread. And we can do that very thing as well. We can teach others, and hopefully that cycle will continue. And like we spoke of before, doesn't necessarily mean because we teach others, doesn't always mean that they're going to accept what we teach. But that's not to stop us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're bad at doing it. You know, again, Jesus, we have examples of him. I mean, he's the master teacher, and he didn't convince everybody. So that should tell us something. This is still something we need to do. We can't let that knowledge, knowing that not everybody's going to accept it, that can't be something that holds us back from doing it. Any questions or thoughts? No?
I was
going to
think of the verse about sowing the seed and God giving the increase.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We will get to that at one point. So that's right. We're just supposed to, we sow it or water it, and then God gives the increase. Good point. Okay. Yes, sir.
You were looking at what does it mean to be a disciple. You go back to Luke 6:40. It's kind of very interesting. There's a lot there. You start thinking about what you're trying to tell us. So it says a pupil, or some versions have disciple, is not above his teacher. So what does that mean? Is that rank? Well, I understand it by the second half explains to it. He's not, pupil doesn't have as much knowledge initially as his teacher. But then the last part, that everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. So the objective for a pupil to be a teacher. And
yes, sir.
Become a teacher.
Yes, sir.
That's a time process, and you should learn. And so that's kind of gets it back to this point you keep making. You know, you're a pupil, we're a disciple, and you become a teacher.
We're the disciple is supposed to become the teacher, yes, sir. And then we can hopefully in turn do the same thing. Yes, sir, good point.
And I like that fully trained there. It means renewing your mind so as to understand more and to be more like Christ, you know, become like the teacher. Not just have the knowledge. Second Timothy deals with that, with those who, you know, had knowledge, but they really didn't have the understanding. And so they went around, you know, teaching that which wasn't true. Diotrephes was trying to be first, you know, and throwing people out and that kind of thing. But it's not just important to have knowledge, it's to have true understanding and to renew our minds and make the changes and become like the teacher.
Okay. And be willing to use that knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
When you were talking about that it wasn't, the pupil wasn't necessarily based on a child being, age being a child.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Titus 2, verse 3, when it talks about the older women,
the women. Mm-hmm.
Are teaching the younger women who are married. So that right there tells you it's not a little child.
Right. Well, and just to clarify my point when I was saying that is this particular kind of disciple, when you look at it at the point in Matthew 28, this disciple sandwiched in there, the part that I left out, is a baptized believer. So that's why I was wording it that way, as far as a little child. Yes, we're, I don't know the right way to word it. We are to teach the little children. I hope we are, because we looked at that very example when we looked in Ephesians. But my point was, at this stage, that disciple is one that has believed come to the understanding of belief, and not only believe, is trying to grow in that knowledge and then be a teacher themselves. So, but that's a good point, because I had thought about Titus, and it was one of those verses I wasn't sure where to place it in my stuff, because that is a good point. And there we see that these older are supposed to be the example and supposed to be teaching and helping the younger. So that is a good point.
Goes in with your continuing the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
If the older women teach the younger women, and then when they become older, they teach. So that cycle.
And that's more of, because that's building on maybe the way that those that believe are to conduct themselves. And which this, what we're talking about, includes that. That's why I wasn't sure where to place some of that.
Craig, it's also as once you're baptized in a believer, it's a different level of knowledge as you grow. You know, even men as knowledgeable and such as Steve, you know, from time to time we hear him making comments about things he's learned.
Oh yeah.
You know, in different things he sees different now than he saw it at a certain time in his life and things like that. But that doesn't mean that the person that's just been baptized and a believer can't teach, because they can share it with say, you know, school friends.
Or, oh yeah.
You know, there's always ways to teach. We become maybe a more effective teacher with knowledge and with understanding, but it's a continuing process.
That's a good point. I hope I didn't imply differently, but you're right, because you know, if they know enough to become a Christian, then they know enough. Let's put it this way: they know enough to save themselves. If you'll let me use the term like that, then they're going to know enough to share it and help somebody else be saved. So yeah, that basic understanding right there is enough to help somebody else, and that's a good point. You know, because we don't have to know everything to be able to teach other people. And also, well, just a side note, you know, in Matthew 28 right there, one reason I kept it kind of separated, when it's talking about this, all this knowledge, let me go back to the verse here so I don't misspeak it here. In verse 21, it says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. That's talking about those that have already come to the understanding. Okay, they're already at this. They're already, verse 19, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are already baptized believers. And the only reason why I bring that up is because you might have some that think they need to know everything before they can be baptized, and that's not true. So just something to keep in the back of your mind, because you might run into somebody that thinks that. So right here, it's not talking about knowing everything as far as to come to Christ. And realistically, we know that we don't know everything. And like you brought up, Jeff, we should continue to read and to grow, because there's always going to be something new that you're going to find in here. As you study or as you mature, you might find a different view of it, or you might see it at a different angle based on maybe other things you've read in the Bible. So, good points. Was there anybody else have any thoughts or comments? We've got about a minute.
You get misconceptions, like in a Baptist church, before anyone's baptized, you have to go to class for a year, sometimes 15 months,
Oh, before just
baptized.
Oh, really?
To get baptized, you have to go to classes, and that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right. Well, but they're not necessarily baptized in the. I don't want to misquote them. Y'all, some of y'all are from that background, but I don't believe they're necessarily baptizing for the remission of sins. So they're using it for something different as a sign or something. So that maybe that's why they do it that way. I don't know. But that's a good point. Yes, ma'am.
It's just funny. I was at work the other day, and, you know, doing this class and everything, and one of my coworkers next to me, she asked the woman across from us, you know, she was talking about going to church on Sunday. She said, "What kind of church do you go to?" She said, "A full gospel church." So I was like, you know, I've never heard of that. And I asked her, I said, "Well, is it a non-denominational?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, you know," the other girl said, "Well, full gospel, what does that mean?" She said, "That means that we, you know, we don't add or take away from the gospel, you know." And she said, we obey everything that's in the Word. And I said, "It's that Old and New Testament?" And she said, "Yes, both, all of it, you know."
I said, okay. Do they do blood sacrifices?
Yeah, no, I didn't have that. I didn't want to start a cult anyway. So I said, "Well," I said, "What do y'all believe about baptism?" She said, "It's a personal choice." And I said, "Well, so you don't add or take away." But I said, "So baptism is not essential, or you know." But I just, you know, I was trying really hard not to. So I'm thinking about, like, you know, asking if she wants to sit down, not around everybody else,
right?
You know,
right.
So.
Right.
But I just thought that was funny. She said, "You know, we don't add or take away, but baptism is personal choice."